Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. Good evening, everyone. Gather around, and I'm Ruth Ann Amartefio. And whoever said that Mercury has gone direct a couple of weeks ago, or about a week and a half ago, I don't think they're right. Usually when people are calling in from different countries, we try to have the Skype, you know, we check the Skype and make sure it's working. And 3 weeks ago, our guest, Jacqueline McKenzie, was going to be here. We were talking. We talked on Skype. She's in Ecuador. We had no problems. That night, it was BTR wouldn't let us in. So tonight, here we are, BTR, and I am not able to get her on Skype. So we'll see as time goes on, because our interview is for a quarter after, so we'll see what happens. I just wanted to say there are a couple of things that before we get into bits and bobs, I guess that's part of bits and bobs. Tuesday, yesterday, two Russian cosmonauts and an American astronaut safely returned to Earth on a space capsule after spending more than 4 months on the ISS, the International Space Station. And that's something that's near and dear to my heart. Actually, all of the space issues are. So I think it's great that when it comes to science, things like that, we can work with other countries. But here on this planet, the U.S. seems to just want to control everything. So it's pretty ironical. When we meet next week, we will be 2 days past the Irish Day. And I call it that because I don't celebrate St. Patrick in any form, but I do have some Irish blood, so I'm fine with Irish Day. For those of you who don't know, St. Patrick was a delusional person. He was doing what I guess he thought was right, even though he was wrong, because he tried to chase all the pagans out. This is where the reference about chasing the snakes out of Ireland and all comes from, because it was pagans. And he got heavily involved in the Druids to get them to convert to Christianity, people who had their own religion for ever, practically. So he is not a hero of mine. So to me, it's like Columbus Day. Columbus was really not a nice person. And so when it comes to celebrating him, I don't do that either. So it's the same. Next Monday is Irish Day. So if you're drinking green beer, and let me tell you, I have drank my share of green beer, be careful. Don't drive. And you know, just enjoy yourselves. But tonight we're going to continue a bit with our pieces on simplifying. And we've talked about getting rid of material things, getting rid of ideas, words, things in your language. And I know for some people, it seems a lot. It's sort of like when people make New Year's resolutions, they decide, okay, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to exercise. They get a whole list of things. And then, you know, by the first week, second week, at least by the end of the month, they've given up on everything. It was too much. So I'd like to caution you, because I've had people say, well, you know, this and this, and yeah, I get rid of something because somebody taught me into it, and I was sure wish I had it. So we're saying when you're going to simplify as far as material things in your life, don't try to do it in a day or a weekend. And of course, that would depend on how much space you have and how many things you've accumulated. But I know there are some shows out that people watch where a crew comes in and they go through your house, or maybe it's just one room, maybe it's the garage, and they just start piling up stuff that's like, well, you're going to get rid of this and this and this and this. And, you know, this is, remember, you're watching a TV show. That's not real life. And how many people do you go out and pick back through the garbage after the crew leaves? Because nobody, absolutely no one, can pick and choose what you yourself want to keep. And this goes for husbands and wives, for partners. I've known several women who, they didn't like their husband's favorite chair or something. They just couldn't wait to get rid of it. Or his old college sweatshirt. And, you know, this is an invasion of another person's rights. It's his, whether you like it or not. So really, you should only be getting rid of your own things. When it comes to household furnishings and all, then talk it over with whoever else is involved. But one thing I would caution you on, do not invite your best friend to help you, or your mother, or someone else, because their values, the things they like, are not necessarily what you like. And they may think, oh, you know, you should really keep this because great, great, great whoever, you know, it's been in the family all the way down. And remember, just because it's been in the family doesn't mean that it's of value to you. It doesn't make you smile, whatever. You know, the memories we keep in our heart, they're not a chunk of wood, some kind of a dresser or something like that. And one of the things that a lot of people have done is take pictures, whether that's of a wedding dress that you know you're never going to wear again. You don't have children that were going to wear. If you do have children, they're going to want their own because fashions change. So all of these things, take pictures and then sell them if they're able to be sold, or if you have the inclination. Otherwise, give them away. They're not enhancing your life. We're trying to simplify, get things down to what is beautiful, makes you smile, gives value to your life. Because truly, why would you want to be worrying about things that don't add value? You know, if you're one of those people who has all those Chaskis all over the house, thank God. I didn't grow up that way. I've never been that way. But I know people who are, and you have to dust them every whatever. What do? Dust them every week. You know, that's one of those things. Okay, you can turn it into a form of meditation, I suppose. But it's just one more thing that you have to take care of. And I would say if you have something like that, pick out 5 or 6 out of the 60 that you have. And now, I'm not talking about a collection. If you have a collection, that's a whole other thing. But if you have just these odds and ends people have given you, and it could work for a collection. If you've gotten things out of control, pick out a few of the top ones. Take pictures of everything else and get rid of them. Because the less time you have to spend working maintenance, the more time you have to spend on the things that you truly want to do, things that make your heart sing. And we all have those things. Part of simplifying actually is finding those things instead of going to some course because someone says, well, this would be good for you. You know, you should take a great books course. If that's not where your heart is, why are you spending your time doing it? You know, you may want to take a dance class. Maybe that's where your passion is. You want to learn how to tango. For heaven's sake, learn how to tango. Sexiest dance in the world. You know, things like this. While you simplify, as you simplify, it should be leading you to who you really, really are. And finding out who you are is a big bonus. Some people go through life not having a clue. They're somebody's daughter, somebody's son. Then there's somebody's roommate, there's someone's student, there's someone's husband or wife, someone's parent. They never are themselves. They don't know who they are and what they like. So just remember, this is part of simplifying. And don't try to do this when you're trying to get rid of the material things. Don't try to do it in an afternoon, unless we're talking about going through maybe a small closet or going through the kitchen drawers. You can do that in an afternoon, but don't put like the whole house. Okay, I'm going to go through the whole house this weekend and throw out everything. Well, that's probably not a good idea, unless you have a small house and not many belongings. Take your time. And if there's something that you're just on the borderline on, box it up. You know, put it away, label it, and date it. And if it's something that you don't use, you don't have any desire to use in 6 months, you know, put a time limit on it, put that date on, then it can go. Now, obviously, we're not talking about seasonal things. If you live where there's four seasons, even if it's just hot or cold, you know, certain things you want for that season. Just like a lot of people have a lot of holiday decorations, it means a lot to them. So they should hold on to those. You know, just use common sense. But if you've got three red dresses and they're all very similar and you put them away and in 6 months you don't wear any of them, maybe you should think about that. If you can't bear to give away or sell all three of them, pick one and keep it, you know, for the next 6 months kind of thing. Go easy on yourself. And never let somebody come in and just say, well, okay, you don't need this and this and this, and let them take it and give it away or throw it in your trash or something. Because a couple things, you're going to find out if you do that within the next month, you're going to really, really wish you had it. Or it's something that you're just going to miss, and then you're going to be bitter and resentful and think, well, why did I let so-and-so, you know, do this with me? So this is why I'm saying, let it take time. I'm not talking about years. You know, we don't want it to take years to get your house cleaned up. Of course, I mean, if it does, it does. But we're working on a smaller schedule because we want you to have a clean life so you can really start enjoying it and not worrying about maintaining. So I would say just try very hard to do this on your own and think about things. You don't have to just go in and dump it just because it's taking up room. We want to come out of this, like at the other end, with a clean house, with the things that every time you see them, you know, this is something that I use all the time, or this is something I use, you know, every few weeks, whatever. It just makes me smile. It's beautiful. And I've been getting rid of a couple, I've gotten rid of a couple paintings. I don't know if I have any more I'm going to get rid of. I don't believe so. But they're actually very nice. But they don't really mean anything to me. So aside from being pretty, but they don't really make me smile and get all giddy. They don't put me in a meditative state of mind or anything. So they're going to go. Actually, those two went. And I have a couple others I'm debating. So, you know, just common sense again. And next week, we'll just talk a little bit more about this act of simplifying, because it can turn into one of the most rewarding things you've ever done in your life. So that's that for now. And I'm going to try to get in touch with our guest. Again, I really, really don't know what's going on with Skype. So I will try her. And in the meantime, this is a song called Nylons in a Rip.
Cat's got your tongue, the jungle's one. Enemy lies dripping your mind or something, but you say you're keeping it safe. In the hands of a godly man, we turn our backs to then you wash your hands and we'll be stuck with the problem. Sell the fear and disappear. Now you got my nylons in a grip. Running around trying to make sense of it. Trying to grow flowers in your bullshit. You put out the sun if you got hold of it. You got my nylons in a grip. Running around trying to make sense of it. Trying to grow flowers in your bullshit. You put out the sun if you got hold of it. We turn our backs and shake the devil's hands. I believe we've been deceived. Now you got my nylons in a rip. Running around trying to make sense of it. Trying to grow flowers in your bullshit. You put out the sun, you see I hold of it. Now you got my nylons in a rip. Running around trying to make sense of it. Trying to grow flowers in your bullshit.
That was Nikki. Nylon's in a rip. Yeah, George, it's interesting, isn't it? Okay, we're going to shortly have Sarit here, and we're going to talk about Palestine and Israel, what's going on, and some of the latest news. Believe me, it doesn't make you smile. So I guess I should say, you know, I'm in the Ileana part of the Midwest, and we had several days of nice weather. 2 days it got up to almost 60, and it got cold last night. It snowed. We have ice on the trees now. It's just, I'm quite healthy, and I haven't been sick this winter, but almost everybody I know, because they go in and out of their homes, and they have the heat on quite warm in the winter, and then they go outside. Anyway, they've all been sick. And I think because I don't run a lot of heat, in fact, I wear some layers in my home, but I think that has kept me from being sick. So it's something to think about next winter, people. You might not want to have your heat on to the max if you're going in and out of the house. I think that might have something to do with it. But now we have Sarit. Hi, Sarit.
Hi.
I was just saying that we have so much, things are not very pretty in Palestine and Israel right now. So I don't know. I just wanted to start out with that. Well, even though we say we're adults only, we recommended for adults, and we use words that we might not want to use in front of children. But the words that I would use for this person, you know, aren't, I just won't. So let us just say that Cameron from the UK is visiting in Palestine. Well, he was supposed to go to the West Bank, but he assured everyone in Israel that he was going to fight the UK as they try to implement more BDS, the boycott.
Oh, my God.
He was, like, all for Israel. He's going to fight them. And, you know, his country people, because a lot of people in the UK are very pro-Palestine. And the BDS
being
movement.
Being pro-Palestine is not being against Israel. He's wrong.
Exactly. But he doesn't get, I mean, he's trying to kiss ass and do whatever he's doing. So he was reassuring Israel and the leaders there that he was going to fight BDS. So I just couldn't, he's just a work of something, that we probably don't want to even mention. But there's other things going on. What are some of the things that you've been noticing this past week since we talked? That's happening.
So he's going to try and fight the truth. Well,
yeah,
what is happening in Israel is very bad. There's been a rise in fascism, just come in new laws, incredibly outrageous laws that I don't see how they're going to implement without going into a civil war. They're attacking Gaza again, their colony.
Yes, I saw that one. But what kind of laws are we talking about that the fascists are trying to
win? One is a governing law, which means there's not going to be any more opposition, basically. I'm explaining very simple language. I'm not much of a lawyer. But it really kills the voice of the opposition because you're not supposed to have an opposing view. It's considered like a traitor simple language. It's like my friends from Israel explain it as like kindergarten, but sadly it's not kindergarten, and kids are smarter.
Right, but like your teacher tells you this, and so you don't even question it, or you're not supposed to. You're just supposed to do it. So
yeah.
Okay. I don't.
Scary.
I don't understand. It's very scary because we always have to have opposition because it's what helps us all grow and get new ideas in on whatever it is that we're talking about. So
no doubt.
That's very scary, and that's going to affect a lot of our Israeli friends for sure.
Yes.
Many
of them are very upset right now because Gaza has been attacked today from the air, from tanks. And from the air, it's been attacked 29 times last time I looked, about 2 hours ago.
Well, I saw, now, this was a BBC thing that I saw, and so you can't obviously take it for whatever. Supposedly, and there were some rockets launched from Gaza.
Yes, many.
And,
like
more than there's been in a couple of years, actually, I think.
Tons of them have been thrown, yes.
Well, but this particular incident, this was supposed to be like within the past couple of days, and it was supposed to be 30 of them had been sent. And
the Israeli media reported 70. Maybe they're lying.
Well, I mean, I would say so, but... It's thought that the ones from Gaza were launched into Israel because of the three Palestinians that were killed in the last few days. There were three individual Palestinians that were killed in 24 hours for no reason.
Yes, they have. And a couple in the West Bank.
Yeah, that was supposedly why they sent the rockets. And then, but see, it's always overkill. Rockets from Palestine are not what we would think of as rockets. I mean, they're not these million-dollar missiles that, you know, that the U.S. sends out kind of thing. And then they come in, like you said, by air and tanks, air and land. They're probably out there shooting more fishermen. I couldn't say for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised. So,
and what kills me is the Zionists have infiltrated many governments. They can make the British president say whatever they want him to say. That means that they probably infiltrated the government in Gaza and can stop Israel from being bombed if they want to.
Well, that I agree, because know that when Vic was killed, that was by Palestinians who had been infiltrated and paid. That was horrible, because obviously he gave his life for the Palestinian people. But I mean, he had been, such a freedom fighter for the people there and loved them so much, and they loved him. So it was, you always are going to find those a few bad apples, that old phrase. It's true. And sure, they infiltrate everything, just like the Israeli government was paying students to get on social media. And they were, the going rate that at the time I saw about it, and I think you too, was $2,000. I mean, it would help them with their student fees and, whatever. I mean, it was just, and they had to go on and get in the different groups and harass people like us. And, so when we get hacked, we know pretty much where it's coming from.
It seems like there's a war on peace.
Well, there is, because for these people who are making so much money on war, they would have to rethink their whole lives, actually.
Yes.
If you have peace, because peace doesn't, peace would include taking care of the earth, which means not so much consumerism and all this. So to get their capitalists and these transnational companies were going to have to be overthrown, basically, to get them to that point, because those people who head them up are so greedy, there's no way that they're going to say, okay, all of a sudden I care about the earth, so I'm going to stop making whatever, or I started caring about people, so I'm not going to make ammunition anymore. It's like they're not going to do that. They're going to have to be taken down to make that happen. And it's not going to be pretty either, but greed is very ugly.
And it's very rampant in Israeli government. They're all greedy and corrupt. They're always getting caught stealing money. Bibi got caught stealing millions of the Israeli money to put it in banks in the Virgin Islands. All the big rabbis are getting caught being corrupt.
Oh, the big rabbis too, huh?
Millions they're stealing, and the Israeli people are so misinformed, and not only misinformed, they've been told the opposite of what's true many times.
Yeah. Well, all rabbis are not totally corrupt, and we've seen some of the demonstrations by the the
some good ones.
They don't want to go to war. They don't. It's against their teachings, and they've had big demonstrations about it.
And they still am. They're having them all the time. It's just not being covered. We had big one in New York that hasn't been covered in the last couple of days.
We're not going to have it covered by mainstream media.
Looked like 100,000 religious Jews took to Manhattan a couple of days there's a problem. I mean, they don't see themselves as Zionists, and in Israel that's a big offense, especially right now.
Well, and some of them are very outspoken about Zionism, because they say that this has nothing to do with religion, which it doesn't.
And not, and they wave the Palestinian flag instead of the Israeli flag, so that really makes the Israelis angry.
Yeah,
And they really wave it. They put it in their neighborhoods to show they are not Zionists.
Yeah, wow, can you imagine? And I'm sure that more than we know, there's people in jail behind this.
There are, actually.
You know.
Or beaten.
Right. And, I mean, some of them may just be disappeared. You just never know what's going to happen. Because we have
becoming a very,
disappeared.
Dictatorship.
Well, yeah, as soon as you mentioned the banks in the Virgin Islands, and, anytime somebody mentions the banks in the Caribbean anymore, I'm just like, oh, yeah, okay, well, we know this is illegal because, everybody has their offshore banking. And
yeah.
I shouldn't say everyone, but those who do are the ones that have the money, and they don't want to, they either don't want to pay taxes on it, or they don't want other people to know they have it, or whatever. So you go offshore with it, and takes care of it, unfortunately. But that's, I don't know, Sri, I did not check today, but I saw yesterday, I believe, that there was a chance that the power plant in Gaza might totally close. And they were given Friday, this coming Friday, as the date. Have you seen anything about that?
No, I've seen that they have no clean water.
Yeah.
No electricity, not much. It's very hopeless.
Well,
I wish people would write to their legislators and protest. Do anything. Remember, there's no failed activism. Everything makes a wave.
Yeah, I know one of my legislators, he takes money, a big money from AIPAC, because you can get the numbers of what they're getting, and those are the only. I mean, those numbers are what they let you know about, so you know there's more.
Absolutely.
That
ours too.
Well, I always go with that iceberg thing, the tip of it. Okay, now
yes.
I'm going to find this because this was in Press TV. This was yesterday. It said the Seoul power plant in Gaza is under threat of shutting down on Friday as it runs out of due to this crippling blockade. Let me shut down. So we know that our friends, because we talk to people who don't have electricity for like 12 hours at a time. And
yes, I can't talk to my friend in Gaza right now. I don't think she has electricity.
Right, and they do have some internet cafe kinds of places. Because I have friends that, go there, but then there's only, so much they can do there, too, because even in a cafe, the lights are going to, they're going to flicker and they're going to go out. But it says that Egypt has totally helped Israel, because they closed the Rafah border.
The coup, Egypt has gone crazy.
Yeah, you can't get food, fuel, medical supplies, nothing through the border, and then the tunnels. And I have a friend in Gaza who says that, he goes days sometimes with no food. So
that's insane.
It is. And when you don't have electricity, now we've got, there's generators, but we've talked before about, they're not always the most reliable or safe, but people on machines in the hospital, those machines need to run all the time, because otherwise you're going to have more deaths. Not that Israel cares, but
no, they don't. Only the left cares.
Yeah. So now we'll see. This is Wednesday. We'll see if anything gets done before Friday.
We need more people on the left.
Yeah. We need more compassionate, caring people.
Yes. People need to learn history and see how it's repeating. The only thing is Israel does not have gas chambers, but otherwise I don't know much difference anymore.
Well, that's it. It seems like they didn't learn, or they learned how to do it from before. So, but that's not really, so they didn't really
they
learn.
They forgot.
You learn something, and you learn how horrible it is, and you vow to never, ever be part of that yourself. And they didn't learn it that way. They were just, okay. You know what? They're like the Aryan nations here in the United States, because they've been, you know, they're, as a rule, they're not very, shouldn't say smart, but they're ignorant about a lot of things. And they finally have found people that they can look down on and pick on, like the, like black people, like Hispanic people, like gays. They used to, I don't know now, they used to pick on Catholics and on Jews also. I mean, it was just everybody that wasn't white and sort of ignorant like them, they picked on. But I see a lot of, like, clan kind of mentality going on in Israel.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so that they may not be stringing people up like they did in this country, but it's the same kind of mentality that, you know, Palestinians are second-class citizens. They're not really human. We're better off without them, so let's do everything we can to genocide them out, kind of thing.
They call them terrorists, not Palestinians.
Right, right.
They're called always terrorists. They don't even, they're not, there's no such thing as Palestinians to Israelis. It's so sad.
They're
to the right wing, which is the majority.
Yes, yeah, and then, I mean, you know, words, there's a lot of connotations with words, because
yes.
I know people who, they hear the term settlers, you know, the Israeli settlers, so they think, well, those are, that's good. They're settlers. They're you know, doing whatever. So we call them squatters because they are squatters. They're living on stolen land. And, you know, so, but it's all in your connotation. And we say the Israelis are terrorists because they are. But, you know, the whole thing about one person's terrorist is another person's freedom fighter.
They're causing terror.
Yeah, total.
Huge terror.
Well,
I can see it in the Palestinian children's eyes.
Yeah. Well, that's it. We've talked about the PSTD because everybody, you can't live under those conditions, whether you're in Gaza with the drones overhead all the time or you're in the West Bank taking 5 hours to get through a checkpoint on your way to work. It's all terror. It's there to terrorize you. It's not there for any practical purpose. There's no reason for any of that, except to harass people.
Show people who's boss.
Right, and like the ladies, who they won't let them through to get to a hospital in time. They may give birth there on the side of the road or something.
All the time.
That, you know, that is just, there is no excuse for that.
That's just all the time, too. I know an Israeli girl who goes to the checkpoint every day, and she gives us reports in Hebrew about how many people couldn't get through to the hospital, and I'm talking always about sick people.
Oh.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels so terrible to share all these sad things.
Yeah.
So many sad things.
But... if we don't, you know,
then no one will know.
That's it. I mean, so once you know, you have a responsibility to share, because
no doubt.
Life is wonderful, and I mean, in spite of all the evil that we know of and see, But everybody,
it's beautiful, yeah.
Everybody has the right to have that feeling and to
life
enjoy it.
Life should be sacred.
Yes, exactly. And so once you know how other people are being treated, and people, animals, the planet, whatever it is, once you know, you have a responsibility.
It's the selfish thing to do, really, because one day it could be us.
Exactly. That's the other side. It's like I never get it right, but that saying that supposedly came out of World War II, where the man talked about, you know, first they came for the Unionists.
Oh, yeah.
I was one, so I didn't care. And then they came for the Catholics, but I wasn't Catholic. I didn't care. And, you know, on and on until they came for me and there was no one to stand up for me. So,
and that's what's happening.
That's it. So we have to stand up for our family, whatever part of the world we're in.
Amen. So while we're saying all that, you know what I stumbled on YouTube? My friend sent it to me, a video from Syria. So I watched it. And I was amazed because I was painting while I was talking to you. I have to wash my brush. Okay. So the video from Syria horrified my soul because it was a massacre. And then the people who were doing the massacre were speaking Russian.
Yes. Yes. I don't know if you, it's been maybe 3 months. It's been a while. I had a lady on my Friday night show in Syria. And she's an engineer there, and she's very pro-President Assad. And she said that what we were, you know, hearing was just a crock. And she talked about the militants from other countries and everything. And, I mean, she had to change the way she was driving to work because the way she used to go wasn't safe for her anymore and things like that. And she was going to send her we're going to send son out of the country for school because while the schools there are good, she would have preferred for him to stay home. She wanted him out because of safety purposes. And she mentioned a lot of this. But see, not she didn't mention Russia, but so we know that they have pulled in. The West has sent in people from, well, Saudi Arabia, definitely. But from different countries, they're mercenaries is what they are. I mean, they're not there because they hold any kind of value system or anything. I mean, they're there to cause trouble because that's what the West wants. And when I say the West comes to Syria, I'm talking about Kingdom of Saudi Arabia also because they really want trouble there. So, you know, that would be... to hear people from another, I mean, it'd be bad enough if it's your own people turning on you, but to hear people speaking a different language and they're there, you know, just trying to destroy your country.
Oh, they were shooting everyone straight in the head.
See, I mean, it's a complete massacre. There's no...
complete.
There's
no
nothing,
mercy.
No. And usually when that happens, I mean, it is everyone. It's women, children, the older people.
There was a 10-year-old boy was killed.
Yeah. And see, that's what, things like that I just feel it in my heart because tax money from the U.S. is going to support that.
That's terrible.
That just makes you sick.
Especially since people here are poor. Majority of Americans are poor.
Oh, and getting poorer. And
can't afford healthy living anymore. And they get sick because they're so stressed. Even heart attack rate is up.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't really understand even why, because they're still working those horror jobs and coming home and watching TV. But they don't understand why they're getting, you know, how stress could be eating at them. But the human psyche, I mean, it knows what's right and what's wrong. And it knows something's wrong. So until they recognize, start doing something for their own bodies, plus to pull this government off, it's going to be just worse. And then, well, people worry about medical bills, and so a lot of people don't go to the doctor when they first get, like, the twinge, or when they first start to get sick or something. They put it off because they don't have the money.
All the time.
Yeah. So it's just that's just a vicious circle.
I have met people who were sick and couldn't afford health care in the United States.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
Who are crying in pain.
Yes. I remember actually on Facebook trying to get a Facebook friend to get to the emergency room. And she kept saying, but I don't have, you know, I don't have insurance. Or, like, she was going to be able to go in a few months. The place she worked was going to insure her at least for something. But, you know, she was in a lot of pain and didn't know how she would even get to work the next day. You know, on and on. I just kept saying, you know, get to the emergency room. Tell them whatever you have to, but get there. You need treatment. You know, you need treatment. That kind of thing. Nobody should have to go through that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's very scary.
It is.
The majority of poor are women and single mothers.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot. I mean, I know several men who are either working part-time
or homeless.
Yeah. And, yeah. That too. And, oh, but you mentioned speaking Russian, and I saw the other day what was it, Carrie? I think it was Carrie that was saying that it, how wrong it was to like attack or sanction somebody or whatever for no reason kind of thing. And then you look at what they're trying to do to Russia. And, I mean, you know, they're trying to not boycott, but just stop trading with Russia, and they don't want anybody to, that kind of thing. And it's like,
that's strange.
These people are such hypocrites. O'Carey and Cameron, it's just, it boggles the mind. And I think we need to have governments where you sign an agreement. If you know that, okay, if I'm elected to this office, I will do such and such and such within whatever, year, 2 years, whatever. And if I don't, you know, yes, you will take me out of office and you can put me in jail because I lied.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
That would, you know, and then you look at the politicians we have now and think, oh, yeah, I can just see them signing something like that.
Yeah.
You know.
They would filibuster it.
Exactly. To death. I mean, it would be like the five-year filibuster kind of thing. You know? But that, you know, because we don't have any, there's no way to make people responsible for, you know, and somebody will say, well, you can always vote out the next time around. Well, my God, look at all the damage they've done.
It's incredible.
So it's like, no, they should be able to be taken down. Just, okay, they didn't do it. It's in writing, the time frame, everything is there. They didn't do it, they're gone. And really, if it was, then they're in jail.
Sounds like Iceland.
Oh, Iceland has done such great stuff.
I love Iceland.
Yeah,
it's a
country there. And the thing is, you know, they don't even have a million people there. I mean, it's very small population wise, and it's a small country, well, compared to the United States. But if you look on a map, I mean, there are several countries that are the size of Iceland and smaller. I mean, like the UK is smaller than Iceland. You put it all together, and like what, England or maybe it's the whole UK. I think it's just Britain has something like 50 million people, 55 million, and Iceland doesn't even have. They're all spread out, but they got their shit together when it came time for politics. I mean, like everything's not perfect, but they're really trying. So
beautiful. Very inspiring. We should all look up to Iceland and enlightened countries to find a way.
You know, I wonder how much of that has to do with the actual landscape. If you've seen the pictures and
There's
something about that, and I think that that helps.
Most beautiful place I've ever been to.
It's just gorgeous. I have a friend in Iceland, and
it's breathtaking.
He's very like an independent thinker. You know, they think for themselves. They live in this fantastic land of fire and ice. And,
oh, yeah.
It's a whole other thing. I mean, between the volcanoes and then the very top of Iceland, there's a little tiny island off of it, actually, that's in the Arctic Circle. And so you're there when you have these long, long, long summer nights, and then you have those short, short, short winter days, which I wouldn't do so good at, but I could handle the summertime. If I ever visit, I think it'll be in the summer. there are countries that are doing things right.
Finland is doing a lot of things right, too.
Where is?
Finland has the best education in the world right now.
Well,
so that is beautiful.
Yeah, as the United States, it's way down on the list now. You know, for so many things that it used to be the top. It used to, the best education, the best health care, best the high, you know, infant mortality and all of this, and now it's way down.
Corruption.
Totally.
People are working harder than ever in the United States, so you cannot blame the people, actually. They say that people's productivity is way up. It's just the corruption.
Well, people are working harder, and they're working longer hours. For less money.
All the money's in politics instead of with the people.
Yeah, exactly. And the corporations.
Occupy needs to continue.
With the corporations, the CEOs in the last, what was it, the last quarter or the last year, their bonuses were so outrageous, more than ever before. And yet we have all these people starving. You don't have to be super smart to see that this system is broken beyond fixing. It can't be fixed, and it shouldn't be.
It's getting worse, actually.
On it. You need to get rid of it. It doesn't work. It works for the very, very wealthy.
All these people working in nuclear power plants here in the United States are getting fired from their job for saying the nuclear power plant is not safe, that it's leaking. The one in Washington is leaking.
Yeah. I mean, they have been. It turns out that they have been all along. But that's the thing. If you start telling the truth, you're apt to lose your job. And if you're one of the lucky ones, you won't be prosecuted. Because they've always, you know, there's always been whistleblowers, and that's why, like Bradley Manning, Snowden.
Exactly.
We have to give them a lot of credit because, you know, they didn't have to come out and for the truth and for the right, but they did, and that takes a certain kind of person to do that.
And then once we have a few more, who knows what we can achieve.
That's it. There's a lot of people that will join us once things get hot, but in the meantime, they're watching TV, they're watching Fox News. They know things aren't quite right, but they still don't feel empowered enough to speak their mind and to join us. But
I truly
believe that they will, because they're not totally ignorant. I mean, it's when they actually see it, and that's why it's so good. When you talk one-on-one with people, like you've been talking to people in the neighborhood and everything, and I do that some with some of these people, and because then you give them something else to think about. You let them know that they're not really alone.
Very true.
So that helps, and whether we're talking with them about climate change or Palestine or whatever, that we just need to get the them to think about something that they're not seeing on mainstream media.
It's so much easier to talk to my neighbors than to talk to strangers on the computer, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, because the commonality is they're your neighbors. You're living in the same area, so you have some kind of a base right there. And the people online, you're not sure. I mean, until you talk to them for a little while, you really don't know.
That's so true.
You know, and then we get those crazy people that, you know, are spamming us all the time, too. And
yeah.
It's just like, report them. And then they come into the groups and, you know, block them, ban them and report them. And, you know, so you have to be on the alert for them online. So, yeah, it's nice to talk to people you can actually see. But, you know, we've gotten very close to people that we are talking to online, too. And usually, after a while, sometimes it doesn't take that long, you know if they're genuine or not. So
I do.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about Gaza because all the eyes of the world are on Ukraine right now, and I think they're taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
I know they're trying a bunch of new weapons.
See, they try them out there. And that's you have something going in one part of the country, and so then these governments can do whatever they want around the world, but everybody's eyes are drawn to this other thing. And because the United States has troops in so many countries, they can just start up anything, anywhere, to take our eyes off of where it needs to be, such as in Gaza and the West Bank. So I don't know, but we're helping, and people say, oh, yeah, you guys are talking about what's happening. So that's all good. It's time for us to go, but I went to say hi to George, and he has his show on Friday morning.
Okay.
I'll get it, and I'll put it on our page. Because his parents are both Palestinian. And
so is he? Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know, George. And he's living in this country. But, you know, he has tales to tell because he knows what it's like over there.
Yes.
Yeah. But I thank you so much, and I'll see you next Wednesday.
Thank you.
So if you celebrate Irish Day Monday, have a ball. I already had Irish soda bread. I love that. And my boy kitties, oh, they liked it too. The little girl didn't care at all. She didn't care. But the boys thought, okay, yeah, well, Mama's part Irish, so that makes us part Irish, so we all ate Irish soda bread.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they're spoiled. As are yours. So anyway, thanks everybody, and we will be back. Yep, next Wednesday. So,
and don't forget to boycott Israel, everyone, until
yes.
They stop bombing people. That
please,
would
please.
Be nice, because that seems to work.
Yeah, well, you know, prayer is good energy in all this, because we've got a lot of people in Israel that are working with us. So.
Oh, yeah.
It's it proves that, you know, there are compassionate, caring people everywhere, no matter what government they're being forced to live under.
Oh, I've witnessed that to be so true.
Yeah. So will you have a nice rest of the evening and just paint
you
away.
Too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, George.
Bye-bye, George.